Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope at beautiful Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. And wow, am I excited.
Whoa.
I am so excited.
Wow.
I am so excited because one of the most incredible priests, people I've ever met, have had perhaps one of the biggest impacts, if not the biggest impact in my life, Father Augustine Pugner, who is pastor of St. John the Baptist in Costa Mesa, California, is here on our show to talk about Lent, the season of opportunity. Welcome back to the show, Father.
Thank you, Deacon Steve. Great to be back with you. And thanks for that enthusiastic introduction. As always, I have been blessed so much by your friendship, your prayers, your support. It's great to be together again.
Well, it is unbelievably great. And this Lent is even more exciting for, I don't know why, I think, you know, 2 years of COVID.
2 years, yeah.
You know, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay, but Lent is about promise.
Yes.
About opportunity. And tell us about what makes Lent so special.
Well, there are many reasons. And we can describe, and we do, we can describe the season of Lent with a number of different terms, right? It's a season of penance. It's a season of conversion. It's a season of self-denial and mortification, a season of prayer, fasting, almsgiving, all the classical themes. But for me, and in our topic today, I see it, and maybe this is on a positive attitude, I see this Lent always as the season of opportunity.
Mm.
Because it's a season of renewal.
Right.
And we need to look beyond just the practices and the regulations of the church in regard to fasting and abstinence, and also look beyond just, well, you know, what have you given up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many opportunities for what's really at the heart of the season, which is growing in your love for God, your love for your neighbor, and growing in that experience, especially of God's mercy as a season of repentance. I remember my first Lent as a seminarian at the Abbey. That was,
wow.
That was a life changer. Well, of course, entering the Abbey changed a lot of things in my life. But my first Lent as a seminarian, wow. Wow. It was just,
What do you remember of it?
I remember, well, first of all, it was the first time I was participating in the liturgy of the church every day.
Mm.
So the liturgy of the hours, the constant, you know, nourishment from the Word of God, and the office was just unbelievable. Constant, you know, the themes, prayer, fasting, abstinence.
Mm-hmm.
But again, always in a positive way. The regulations for the seminarians at the Abbey, it's, you know, we do a lot more than just like the general church requirements, right? So we were doing a lot more in terms of fasting and abstinence from meat. It was a wonderful time. You know, there was a stricter observance of like the silence within the cloister. We had an 8-day, a full week plus retreat, silent retreat, which I'd never done. I'd never done a week long retreat. So that was my first experience of, you know, a week long silent retreat. But what I remember is the fruits from that experience, not so much the experience itself, but I felt, come Holy Week and especially Easter, such an incredible spiritual renewal, knowing that I had spent that season of Lent, you know, really seriously, taking a good look at myself, seeing where I need to improve, immersing myself in, you know, the practices of Lent, so that the season of opportunity, we benefit from all these beautiful blessings and graces that are ours in a special and unique way in this season of Lent.
My brothers and sisters, we are so blessed to have Father Augustine Pugner, pastor of St. John the Baptist, with us talking about this season of opportunity called Lent. Lent actually began roughly in the 3rd century, and it began as preparation for baptism into the church.
Yes.
And so the sense of renewal, in fact, the word Lent means springtime, I believe.
Yes.
And so it's this period of new birth, in a sense.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, the Easter sacraments still for the church, you know, some 2,000 years later, are so special. And in my, you know, role as pastor of the parish these past years, it's just, it's unbelievable. To see the joy in those who receive baptism and the other sacraments of initiation, say at the Easter Vigil, and also for their families, for our whole parish community. It's an incredible experience of that grace of renewal, new life through baptism. And also accompanying people in this journey, especially for those in the RCIA program, officially preparing for the sacraments. You know, you see the Spirit's work in bringing these people, some of them in the RCIA program, some of those preparing for the Easter sacraments, again, like the early church and like throughout the church's history, they've perhaps had like no like formal religious education. They grew up in a home that was not necessarily at all religious. Some of them come from other, you know, churches and other faith traditions. And it's amazing to see the work of God's grace to bring them to the point where, you know, first of all, they're inquiring about Catholicism. They're like, oh, you know, it's usually, you know, some influence, a friend, a family member, obviously something is, you know, the tool that God uses to say, hey, what about becoming Catholic? What about being baptized? And again, once they're open to that, you know, God uses that opening and he comes in and he inspires those, again, amazing stories of conversion, of, you know, acknowledgement of God's great blessings and grace in their life. So that whole journey from unbeliever to baptized believer, which is, again, part of the whole season of Lent. At the beginning of the season, liturgically, right, we celebrate the rite of election for all of those who are
right.
in the process of preparing for baptism. So that first Saturday after Ash Wednesday, we were here at the cathedral with other parishes, of course. And that weekend, they celebrate for all the parishes and centers in the diocese. Their catechumens, those preparing for baptism, come and their names are pronounced out loud. By a representative from their parish, a priest or deacon. I do it myself as a pastor. They're called. Their names are called. The book in which they've signed their names is presented to the bishop. So there is a formal welcome and acceptance of these people to be baptized at Easter and to be welcomed into the church. And that, again, that beautiful journey from, you know, no faith at all to the fullness of faith and full participation in the mystical body of Christ, which is the Catholic Church, it's unbelievable to see how it brings completely new life and new perspective to people.
First of all, let me thank you for this show, Father Augustine and Friends on Spirit-Filled Radio.
Oh, yes, my little show.
Well, it's just been unbelievable.
My little show.
And also for Father Jacob Shea,
yes,
the beauty of our Catholic heritage,
absolutely,
you know, in which he goes into great detail. So many people don't understand our Catholic heritage and how it relates to Lent. Let's start with purple.
Sure.
Why purple? What's that mean?
Well, it's a penitential color for us. It's beautiful. In fact, like purple is currently my favorite color.
And it's beautiful.
As I've grown up, I went from like green to blue to red, but now I
love it.
Yeah.
It's also royalty though, right?
It is. And that's, you know, so for people that say, well, I mean, it's a royal color. And, you know, like in the Roman Empire, yes, there are certain, you know, connections with royalty and even now. But the church has seen it as a color of penance.
Yes.
It's not a bright celebratory color as is white or gold, which we do use for, again, you know, the Easter season.
Mm-hmm.
So the color purple represents a season of penance, a season of preparation, even like Advent. Mm-hmm. Advent is also a purple season. And it's, again, darker, a little more subdued. Just as a color, it sort of has that significance. But always it was used, you know, and in addition to being a penitential color, you know, there are also, you know, the church uses the color black for, you know, for funerals and All Souls Day and things. So similar in that sense that, you know, the black is, of course, for mourning specifically, but purple is for penance.
And so part of Lent, though, has this week of joy, too.
Yes, it does.
Tell us about that.
Well, so the fourth Sunday of the season of Lent is one of two Sundays in the entire year where the priest has the option of wearing a rose-colored vestment, pink or rose as we refer to it. And in the season of Advent, it indicates that, you know, Christmas is getting close. We're halfway through, or more than halfway through, the season of Advent. And that's the third Sunday of Advent. Then the fourth Sunday of Lent, Laetare Sunday, as it's called. And that word is the first word in the Latin text of the entrance antiphon to the Mass. That's where it comes from, Laetare, rejoice, rejoicing Sunday. Yeah, so we rejoice that fourth week of the season of Lent because, again, we're like now we're past the halfway point. Now we're getting closer to Holy Week and Easter. So the priest has the option to not wear the penitential purple on that Sunday, but to give that festive indication of the joy of the season, rejoicing in the Lord always by wearing that rose-colored vestment.
One of the things you mentioned as an overall theme of Lent, or a foundation of Lent, is penance. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really critical that people understand the power of reconciliation.
Yes.
The power of going to the priest in confession. Mm-hmm. Why is that such an important part of Lent?
Well, because I know through my priestly experience that it is, in fact, a season of conversion, not only in the themes of the liturgy and the readings and the texts throughout the season, but in the lived experience, in my almost 25 years as a priest, it is a season where people, they come back to the church. There's so many good confessions. And like after, you know, 5, 10, 20, 30 years, you know, there's something about this season and the graces that God, you know, bestows upon people that brings people back to the sacrament of reconciliation, where they are back into the embrace of our loving Father. And of course, Jesus and the church welcomes them back. The parable of the prodigal son, obviously a perfect image of like the whole season of Lent. In fact, I frequently, you know, will use this either on Ash Wednesday itself or that first Sunday in Lent to include this in my preaching, that our journey of Lent is the journey of the prodigal son from the moment he comes to his senses, right? So he takes his inheritance, he goes off, he makes all the bad decisions, he's completely destitute, he's in want, his life is a total mess. And then the scripture says, you know, sort of in one English translation, he came to his senses and realized his need for conversion, repentance. And what was the solution? I must get back to the Father.
And what is the Father doing, my brothers and sisters, but staring out in the horizon?
Yes.
Which, by the way, in Jewish culture and tradition, a Jewish father that was disowned by a child would not be normally doing that.
They would never be waiting for them.
They'd never be waiting for them to come back. And so he's not just waiting, but running to him to embrace him. And that is so much what happens during one of the greatest gifts that we have in the church, the sacrament of reconciliation. And I, as you know, Father, I have such a great passion, as you do, and so many people do, and everyone should, for that sacrament. And yet so many people are afraid of it. So I want to spend some time talking about the gift of reconciliation and how many people, I have a joke, you know, it's really a joke. It's not bad. But I need to go to you afterwards in confession after
thanks
this.
Thanks for the preparation, though.
That the best confession I ever gave was in Italy to a priest there who didn't speak a word of English. You know, it was a bad thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, but so many people go to priests that they don't know because they're afraid that, wow, what's the priest going to, the priest really going to know me, you know, and all that. So tell us about that fear, which I think is from the devil.
You're right.
Demonic, doesn't want you to embrace that sacrament. Tell us about that whole area.
Well, first of all, don't be afraid. To our listeners, don't be afraid. And let me just say that as sincerely and gently as I can. Don't be afraid of confession of God, because God's mercy is that embrace of the loving Father who is waiting and watching for you to return to him, and to return to his love, and to return home, home to the church, home to your spiritual family, where you will be embraced with great love and enthusiasm and will be supported. So that, know that the fear factor is definitely something that we pray that everyone will overcome. So I understand, certainly, there's a kind of nervousness or anxiety for those, if it's been a while since you've been to confession, But just don't think of that particular aspect of the experience. Think of how wonderful you're going to feel when it's over.
Amen.
Think of how wonderful you will feel knowing that God has really forgiven your sins. It's
Amen.
Not just symbolic. It's not just, well, you know, some kind of, you know, therapy or self-help. It's much more than that. It's a sacrament of the church. It confers grace, spiritual power. It brings about, through the ministry of the church, real forgiveness of sins. And with real forgiveness comes real freedom.
Mm.
I think that's it. You know, we say, well, you know, faith over fear, but also freedom over fear. Because when we are forgiven our sins, we are freed. And that freedom, again, is such a great source of the consolation and the peace that we have after the confession itself. I understand it's difficult sometimes when you go in and confession gets started, if it's been a while, the priest is there to help you. The priest is there to assist you. He's not there to judge or accuse. He's there to forgive. He's there in the person of the merciful Lord, the person of Christ himself, as he, you know, exercises his priestly ministry in the sacrament. So again, there's so many ways to think about it in a positive way. The effects that come from a good confession. And just, you know, for our listeners, let all that, you know, the consideration of its good fruits and its positive effects in your life, let that completely override and push aside any fear, any anxiety. It's not about the shame or the guilt. It's about the freedom from forgiveness that really is the result of that sacrament.
My brothers and sisters, it is not a coincidence that you are listening to Empowered by the Spirit right now, and Father Augustine Pugner and his words and my words. Is not a coincidence that God is calling you for a new birth, a new creation. Jesus says, behold, I make all things new. And you are a new creation in Christ Jesus when you go to the sacrament of reconciliation. One very, 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 very critical thing that I believe in all of my heart is that the road to holiness, which we're all called to be holy, we're all called to be working as saints as much as possibly can, but we're called for holiness, is through humility. Through humility. Mm-hmm. Humility leads to holiness.
Mm-hmm.
To go to a priest, especially one that you know, but any priest, any man, but to go to someone, and what does the devil want to do? The devil is whispering in your ear, well, they're going to think a lot less of you.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to think you're this horrible person.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's a lie. That's a lie. Mm-hmm. Humble yourself before the Lord, and you will receive grace like you cannot believe. And when all is said and done, the sacrament of reconciliation, humility is at a core of it. Your thoughts, mm-hmm. Father?
Yeah. Well, again, don't be concerned for our listeners. Don't be concerned about, you know, if it's a priest that you know, that you're familiar with. Because sacramentally, theologically, the priest at that moment is not acting as like your friend at that moment, right? And I know it's difficult perhaps on a psychological or emotional level to kind of understand that. But that's really, you know, obviously the seal of confession protects its complete confidentiality, absolute, inviolable. That is, again, just on a practical level, the priest can never, ever, ever say anything to anyone. Then on that human level, it's true that for those whom I know well, but whose confessions I hear, and for that sacrament of reconciliation, it's not about the fear or the anxiety. It's about, you know, a familiarity and a friendship, not so much with me, but with the Lord, you know. And that's where, you know, as a priest, the priest obviously can, in his own life, he's given the grace through the sacrament of holy orders that he's received to be able to make those distinctions, right? That this is not my friend right now, in this sense, that I am here to serve this person in the person of Christ, in the sacrament of reconciliation. Through my words and actions, God will absolve this person of their sins, right? That's the beautiful thing, that for everyone to consider that and not like, well, you know, does the priest know me or what's he going to think about me? we all acknowledge that we are sinners. The priests themselves, we go to confession and we humble ourselves, as you mentioned, Steve, in order to receive that beautiful grace. So again, it's not about judgment. It's not about condemnation. It's not about any of that. Even if it's, you know, someone that you're concerned. Well, what about my reputation? What about all that? You just, you know, set that aside. And ultimately, it's between you and God in that confessional.
And my brothers and sisters, the more you strive for holiness, the more you realize how much you need reconciliation.
Yes. Yeah.
How much you need to go deep within the self-examination, to go deep within your soul, to realize all the times that you've moved away from God.
Mm-hmm.
Psychologists tell us that we make 2,500 decisions per day.
What? 2,500?
2,500 decisions.
Wow.
And Ignatian spirituality talks about some of those decisions are moving towards God, which is consolation.
Wow.
And some are moving away from God, which is desolation. Think about the times you move away from God. You want to make sure that you heal yourself in which you don't need to move away from God. You need to be moving towards God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so the ability to have, and one of the books that Father actually gave the foreword on and has endorsed called, that I wrote called Be Not Afraid. We have a whole chapter on reconciliation, on how to make really a great reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking before we started the show about someone that, as far as I'm concerned, is a saint who passed away, Father Leo.
Oh,
Shalana,
dear Father Leo.
Who was my spiritual director for many years. And he would always focus on that sacrament as you went to see him. I'll never forget. You know, and he would say things like, well, I know you may be concerned about, you know, you haven't heard my sins, you know, and, you know, I confess sins too. But he would say, as I would go on, the reconciliation with him would not be 5 minutes, would not be, you know, and he would say, and what else, my son? I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
What else, my son?
Oh.
What else, my son? But in a loving way.
Sure.
So at the center of the sacrament of reconciliation is incredible, unconditional, agape love.
Mm-hmm.
It is all about love.
And even on a human level, isn't that really how we are able to forgive one another? When you really love, when it's a real, again, self-giving, self-sacrificial, a love of great benevolence and generosity, we're able to forgive people. And that's, again, on a human level, so important that love is at the heart of reconciliation among family members, among friends, co-workers, whatever the situation may be. And when we supernaturalize and see that love as something divine, then, you know, perfectly explains what you've just described, Steve. It really is about that abundance of God's love, which is always there to welcome us back, to cleanse us of our sins, to give us a renewed spirit. Again, all the themes of this Lenten season, really, you know. So, you know, season of opportunity. Well, there are many opportunities to make a good confession and experience the sacrament of reconciliation. And as I'd mentioned, I've certainly in my priesthood seen that this is the time, right? Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. God's grace is at work. I'm sure for those listening, you know, God's grace is at work in your life. And if you are one of those who is far away from God, if you see yourself now as the prodigal son who is far away from home, you also, by God's grace, you need to come to your senses, realize what the solution is. What's the way out of the darkness and, you know, the difficulties or, I mean, whatever it may be. God's grace is the way out. Conversion, repentance, forgiveness of sins, and reconciliation with God. That's what it means to really be, you know, again, welcomed back by the Father.
There's a lot of confusion about frequency of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some people say, well, you know, I haven't killed anybody and I haven't stolen, you know, robbed a bank or whatever,
right,
so I really don't need to go. But I think they miss the grace of striving for holiness. Your thoughts about when do you know it's time to go to reconciliation?
Sure. Well, first and foremost, if you are guilty of mortal sin, go as soon as possible.
Amen.
Go as soon as possible. Because you need to be in the state of grace. not only to receive Holy Communion at Mass, but for so many other benefits, obviously, being in the state of grace. So if you are guilty of serious mortal sin, you should go as soon as possible.
Amen.
Okay. Then for those who are not aware or actually guilty of serious mortal sin, for all the other venial sins, when is it time? Well, you know, if you're a person of prayer, and I encourage our listeners to be that, if you are participating in the life of the church through liturgy, you know, Sunday Mass and other opportunities, that Holy Spirit obviously will indicate to you when it's time to go, even if you haven't committed any serious mortal sins. But for the other sins too, and even just for overcoming our bad faults, bad habits, imperfections, you know, to go in, you know, those circumstances where if there's a disturbance in your conscience, right, if your conscience is telling you, you know what, you should just go. Obey that prompting, I would say, to go, you know, once a month, kind of as a standard sort of, you know, start with that, and see. But that's, you know, for each person, their regularity and frequency of confession can differ, and, you know, legitimately and beneficially from person to person. It's something that you could just sort of, you know, try out and see.
One of the most important things, as Father is saying, Father Augustine Bugner, is be led by the Spirit.
Yeah.
Pray
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
Let the Spirit lead you. And one of the, I can't begin to emphasize the critical nature of striving for holiness.
Amen.
So that leads to, of course, daily Mass.
Mm-hmm.
That leads to prayer of that holy hour or more, adoration.
Mm-hmm.
But it also leads to reconciliation as you're moved by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, you know, there have been times when I've gone much more frequently because I needed it.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. And being aware of that is, again, a response to the Spirit who lets us know. And but, you know, being obedient to that prompting, I think that's so important, because I do know in my ministry, sir, there are those who've, you know, shared that they felt they needed to come earlier. Right. And then they didn't respond to that invitation. They put it off. And then it was maybe after that that, you know, they fell into a serious sin. They committed a mortal sin. And then they knew, OK, well, now I really need to come.
Well, that's such a critical point, mm-hmm. is because the way the enemy works is the enemy sometimes creates this environment, this little whisper, mm-hmm. to do the little sin.
Yeah.
That little sin unchecked.
Yeah.
Then grows.
Yes, it does. It does. That's why we need to take care of that little sin through the sacrament of reconciliation and through just, you know, prayer and other means of fighting that spiritual combat, right? Being aware of, well, you know, what's the source of the temptation? Is there an area of weakness or vulnerability that I need to attend to in my own life to make a specific prayer intention for deliverance from whatever that particular sin or bad habit might be? But this is the season of opportunity.
Amen.
That's why this is like, this is the time. This is the themes of Lent are, again, they're things that are just part of the Christian life in general. Right?
Sure, sure, sure.
I mean, so, you know, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, penance, all the things that we're intensifying our focus on during Lent are things that we should be doing and are doing all year round. But God is so gracious in the church in giving us this season to really more intensely, let's focus on these things. Let's take a really good close look at how we can improve. Again, not in a, you know, sort of, you know, scrupulous or anxious way, but in a free and focused and beautiful positive sense to say, okay, the opportunities here and now are to grow and to overcome that bad habit and to grow in all the virtues and things that will make me more Christ-like.
Amen.
Christ-like, right? It's a season where we focus our attention again on the imitation of Christ, and all the aspects of his life. And during Lent, it's those penitential aspects. He suffered for you. He died on a cross to save you from your sins. And in order for that to have abundant fruit in your life, now this season of Lent gives us that opportunity. Unite yourselves to Christ in all things, and you will experience that tremendous blessing.
And he would have died on the cross just for you.
Yes,
and in fact did.
Yeah.
It's Deacon Steve Greco. You're empowered by the Spirit. We're talking about Lent as a season of opportunity. We'll be right back to talk more about it.
We've all heard the passage from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. For I was in prison and you visited me. Take a listen to this poignant word from Fred Lapuza, a recent guest of Father Christopher Smith on the Cathedral Square radio show and podcast. Fred is the head of the Restorative Justice Ministry in the Diocese of Orange.
This prayer was composed by the California Conference of Catholic Bishops. It's a restorative justice prayer. Jesus, united with the Father and the Holy Spirit, give us your compassion for those incarcerated. Mend in mercy the broken in mind and memory. Soften the hard of heart, the captives of anger. Free the innocent. Parole the trustworthy. Awaken the repentance that restores hope. May prisoners' families persevere in their love. Jesus, heal the victims of crime. They live with the scars. Lift to eternal peace those who die. Grant victims' families the forgiveness that heals. Give wisdom to lawmakers and those who judge. Instill prudence and patience in those who guard. Make those in prison ministry bearers of your light, for all of us are in need of your mercy. Amen.
Spirit-filled radio is in partnership with the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange in Southern California. SpiritFillRadio.org.
I could be on this show with Father Augustine Pugner, the pastor of St. John the Baptist in Costa Mesa. I think I could just be here for hours upon
all
hours.
Day. Yeah,
all
we
day.
Could just, yeah,
all
we
day.
Could just
week after
all
week.
Day, you can see.
And even without talking about sports.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
But talking about how much God loves us, about God's mercy.
Amen.
And, you know, at the core, our subject again is Lent, the season of opportunity. At the core of Lent is always love, is God's love. But it's also mercy. And we've talked about reconciliation as really an important part of the season of Lent, and of course all year. And I'm just so excited to be with you, Father, and so excited, I have to honestly say, to be part and hopefully part of and to support the Norbertine Order, because I want to spend a little bit of time talking about the Norbertines and vocations, because to be candid, vocations are booming within the order.
So blessed. We are so blessed, yes.
But we need to have vocations beyond the Norbertine order.
Absolutely.
Because we need it throughout the church.
For sure.
Tell us about why is it so important for those that have that kind of nudge to go to the Lord to say, okay, what do you want of me? And Lent is a great time for that self-examination.
Absolutely.
To say, maybe I am called to go to investigate becoming a priest, a sister, a deacon, a lay leader, whatever it might be.
Yeah. Well, again, this season of Lent, I've seen numerous people who've shared with me those stories about, you know, this is when they, you know, came back to the church or experienced, you know, some radical conversion in their life or a reversion. Like for those who were Catholic and maybe went astray for a while, like the again, prodigal son story, and they came back and it was during Lent. I mean, it was during the season, right? And for some of those people, I know they're priests and religious now. They are people that
exactly.
I've come to know.
Praise God.
So with the grace of like a conversion or a reversion to a real, you know, strong practice of the faith, in some instances, that included the planting of the seed to say, and, you know, when you ask yourself, okay, now what? Now that my life has really changed, and now I'm, you know, I'm back in the church, I'm back in the sacraments, or I'm just coming to this, there are those who are discerning vocations to the priesthood and religious life, simply kind of on account of the fact that it comes with taking conversion seriously and comes with, you know, again, that grace of saying, all right, now I'm back with God, or I'm going to really be fully immersed in, you know, Catholic teaching and Catholic devotion and Catholic life. And I certainly know, I know vocations, I know priests and religious that have had that experience. And I just spoke the other day with a come and see visitor, as we refer to them, at the Abbey.
Nice.
The young men who are discerning.
Sure.
And he's just, you know, making his first official visit to the Abbey. And again, it's a similar story, you know, fairly recent convert, just experiencing the incredible blessing of just being Catholic And now he's like, okay. And I ask God, well, now, you know, what more does this mean in my life? Mm. And he's discerning a vocation. Right?
Praise God.
So those stories are surely, they're real and they're still happening.
Praise God. And my brothers and sisters, again, it's not a coincidence that you're listening to this show, because God is calling you. Remember John 15:16, it's mm-hmm. not you called me, I called you and anointed you to bear fruit. You're being called to bear fruit in whatever way God leads you.
Right.
Don't compare yourself with anybody else.
Right.
God may be leading you to be part of a ministry, head up a ministry, mm-hmm. may lead you to lead a vocation.
Mm-hmm.
One part of Lent, you know, we talk about Lent, we know prayer and getting into deep, deep prayer mm-hmm. on an ongoing basis, because prayer is connection with God. Mm-hmm. Remain in me and I'll remain in you.
Mm-hmm.
The vine and the branches, John 15.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer, we know about almsgiving of time, talent, treasure, mm-hmm. and so forth. I want to focus on fasting.
Sure.
Because that is an area, I think, of a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
The power of fasting.
Mm-hmm.
What is fasting? Why is it so important all the time?
Mm-hmm.
But during Lent, mm-hmm. people say, okay, I gave up candy. I gave up whatever.
Right.
But what is fasting? Why is it so important? How does it help us with holiness?
Right. Well, as one of the ways in which we can deny ourselves certain goods, which are in and of themselves not sinful and certainly legitimate and even necessary for our well-being, like food, like you have to have food
right.
to live on a physical level, right? But the season of Lent and just the whole, the discipline, we say, of fasting is to limit one's self in regard to these legitimate goods, which are, you know, necessary for our survival and for, our, again, on a human level, our happiness. To limit them so that they do not become the purpose of our existence. They don't become, you know, the reason for our getting up in the morning. They don't become a distraction to our life of prayer and tending to the things of the Spirit, right? So, and obviously the word detachment is a big part of, you know, the Lenten practices. Detach yourself from the things of this world, you know, so that your treasure indeed will be in heaven. But bodily fasting, you know, there's so many good resources on like the history of fasting
mm-hmm.
and even not only just from the Catholic spiritual perspective, but even like from a medical and physical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
There are like doctors who like they could be atheists, right? No religion at all. But they may recommend to certain patients certain types of fasting, right?
Because there's everything from A to Z in terms of fasting.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That could be a 3-day fast.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of different fasts as it relates to whether it be food or mm-hmm. obviously fasting against certain other things that you could do, but
sure.
particularly food or drink.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Matthew 4 and I believe
mm-hmm.
Luke 4.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus battle into the desert
yes.
and led by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
What did he do?
Yeah.
He fasted.
Yes, he did. And he was hungry.
And
at
he
the end
was
of it.
Hungry.
He was hungry. Yeah.
But so let's tie that, the question of fast, with helping us battle evil.
Sure.
How does that happen?
Well, the fasting strengthens the spirit. That's why in denying the body things which are good and beneficial, the spirituality of that particular practice is not just because, you know, you want to lose weight or, I mean, there are other benefits. That's true. But it's particularly to allow the spirit, the soul, to have, you could say, a greater influence in exercising its power within our human nature, right? Part of the big, you know, difficulty in our culture and in society and in a life of sin is that you allow the body to control the soul.
Exactly.
It's, you know, yeah, it's
if
just,
it feels good,
yeah,
do it.
If you just give in to your bodily urges and bodily desires and, you know, bodily wants, well, I mean, obviously it's going to lead you down a very, very bad and painful path, right? So, but the soul and the spirit, which is, you know, meant to have a certain dominion and control over the body, the, you know, season of Lent is that opportunity to allow us to really strengthen that exercise that the spirit has in regard to regulating the body. And for so many, you know, ways in which sins of the flesh can get the better of us, this season reminds us that, no, you know, you're more than just your bodily needs. Your soul, obviously, also is nourished in many ways. Obviously, prayer, first and foremost. Your spirit needs to govern those, you know, lower appetites, as we call them. You're more than just your body, just a physical, you know, being. And that spirituality of fasting and other bodily mortifications really leads us to see how incredibly powerful and beautiful they are as like, you know, a source of fruitfulness in prayer and a source of strength in the spirit. So you are more than just your bodily desires. That's really what, you know, the purposes of fasting and the spirituality of that kind of self-denial. That's what it reinforces for us.
Amen, amen, amen. We're with Father Augustine Pugner, who is pastor at St. John the Baptist, a booming parish, a parish that
Steve.
If you're anywhere in the
busy.
Area of, in
Woo.
Costa Mesa, California, or if you're visiting from out of town,
absolutely.
Stop by.
Come visit.
Where are some Mass times?
Worth the trip. Wherever you are, Midwest,
yeah,
East Coast.
Check it out. Masses all day, reconciliation,
yep.
All kinds of things. It's a beautiful parish,
yeah.
Beautiful priests, beautiful culture, beautiful
Thank
environment.
You, Thank you.
Having said that,
yes,
we are in, I consider, the biggest challenge of our lives,
yeah.
A challenge in our culture,
yeah.
A challenge in our society and the world,
mm-hmm.
A challenge against evil.
Yeah.
What is evil? Often many people say is good.
Yeah.
What is sin? People say, well, you've got to do it.
Yeah.
We are called to be warriors for Christ, and Lent is part of that preparation to help us be warriors for Christ. We need to be all in. And it's so important, you know, sometimes, you know, we lose sight because you're part of this really thriving, beautiful, holy parish.
Mm-hmm.
But the world as a whole,
yeah.
We need warriors for Christ.
We do.
Your thoughts on that?
We do. Well, obviously, we have spoken in previous conversations about the challenge that the culture is presenting right now. It's so difficult, you know, when things, morally speaking, things have been, you know, completely turned upside down, like almost like completely reversed. Bad is good and, you know, these sorts of things. So in regard to, like, the culture, for our parish and for other, you know, parish communities, religious communities, St. Michael's Abbey, you know, we provide obviously a place and an environment and a community where people can really, you know, grow spiritually. Obviously that's what we do. That's why St. John the Baptist Parish exists, to provide people with a spiritual home where they can worship God in spirit and truth. They can be with, you know, like-minded believers, a lot of great, great people, a lot of great families. We run a school, the elementary school, lots of wonderful opportunities. But we are, you know, creating a place and a community where the kingdom of God can be experienced, where we will fight against evil. We will resist all the bad influences together. We will empower our people who do go into the world, all those who work in the world and live in the world. We need to empower them to be really strong and be courageous witnesses in a godless culture and in a world where, again, morality has been in many ways completely turned upside down, right? But interesting, you know, so you think of the parish community and especially even just in terms of its physical location. I'm speaking about the New Abbey, right? So you go like to the New Abbey or even just like any monastery, any community where you're clearly separated from the world. And like instantly you have this experience that this is a place of peace, and this is a place where, you know, God comes first. This is, you know, a religious place. And to bring that into the secular world, to bring that into the culture, we need to, again, sort of, you know, see the seriousness of our witness. But it can be done, my dear brothers and sisters who are listening. It can be done, and it must be done.
It must be done.
We must bring the love of God and the truth of Jesus Christ into the, you know, the world and into the culture. And again, it's hard to think about that when you're going through South Coast Plaza. It's
right.
Just hard.
Sure.
It's just hard, you know, when you're just immersed in secular culture. There's nothing wrong with South Coast Plaza. You know, I go there once in a while for, you know, needs. But anyway, but like compared to like going to an abbey or going to a parish and having that closeness and that experience directly with God. Yeah, you really see how, you know, the culture presents such a challenge for us to really think spiritually and to really like embrace all the themes of the season of Lent. Like Lent is easy. Like if you're like in an abbey, like you think, well, gosh, you know, here I am. It's like, you know, the 12th century. I'm back in the Middle Ages, you know, and there are no shopping malls and there is no internet and there is no cell phones and all that, you know, a simpler time. And then you say, well, yeah, well, then, you know, I could see like how everyone was like fasting and praying and doing all those things. But we can still do that. We can
Amen. I want to talk about the young, the youth.
Yes.
Teenagers, mm-hmm. young adults.
Yeah.
You know, I was so moved. We're blessed to have great organizations like Focus Ministry.
Yes.
And Young Adults on Campus, Net Ministries.
They were just at the parish.
Net?
Yeah, we just finished our Net weekend retreat.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yep. Mm-hmm. They're so great. And I know that you have a thriving young adult and mm-hmm. teen ministries at your parish. Mm-hmm. You know, it moved me so much in talking with my parish, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Irvine, is right by UCI.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we get some students from UCI, and I often like to talk to them. And they will say things like, when my friends find out that I go to church, I'm ridiculed.
Yeah.
I'm criticized.
Oh, gosh.
I'm told that I am so outdated and so, you know, and they laugh at me.
Right.
You know, that's what we're fighting, but we need courage. Your thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. So difficult. For all you young adults out there, for all you young people too, facing that reality, the ridicule, the resistance, just pray to be strong. Because that's going to continue. There's always been some of that. Obviously, the church has always been, you know, the minority. We started as a very small group of committed believers back after the time of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But so you're always going to face that kind of resistance. But I know on so many levels, emotionally, psychologically, as well as spiritually, that kind of ridicule, that kind of reaction to your commitment to the faith, I know how heavily, you know, that weighs on you. It's a burden, but God is with you to help you bear that burden. You know, there's no other explanation than just we have to be faithful. We have to be strong. We have to pray for the grace to be able to witness to the Lord in times of, you know, just total darkness, it seems. But in that reality, there is, again, that's the opportunity to let your light shine, to allow your words and good example to be an influence to others. You may never experience, you know, like the fruits of your witness, right? But who knows? We never know. There may be that friend or two who in the back of their mind, they're thinking, wow, you know, I kind of wish I had what, you know, this person has in terms of, you know, their strength of conviction and their, you know, the faith, which obviously you can see it plays an important part in their life. And there's a certain peace there and a kind of, you know, contentment. All those things are ways of witnessing. But, you know, we are strong in dealing with all those, you know, difficulties through prayer, through the sacraments. Find some good Catholic friends because they're out there. They're out there.
They're out there.
They're out there.
God will bring them to you.
Yes, he will. Definitely pray for that, to surround you with some good support, family, or then just, you know, friends. For those of you who are like on university campuses or now, I mean, even in high school, right? I mean, there's just so many situations where God is asking you to be his witness. And we've got to be ready to say, Lord, here I am. You know, choose me, use me. To know enough about the faith to maybe answer a few questions if needed. Hey, you know, why do you guys do this or why do you guys believe that? Okay, that's, of course, just, you know, learning about the faith and being able to explain. And then again, just, you know, the goodness of your life, the goodness of that example that you give. Those are powerful, powerful means of preaching the gospel.
Remember, my brothers and sisters, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up.
That's not an option. Never.
Not an option. Now, you are the fifth gospel. What does that mean? Your story, your life. You don't have to preach to people. You don't have to be a biblical expert. Mm-hmm. You should know about your faith, certainly,
sure.
And what we believe in. But tell them your story.
Yeah.
Do you know they're waiting for you to tell them the reason why you believe? Do you know that they respect you even as they're ridiculing you? Do you know the fact that they are longing for truth, in their heart. And they're going to challenge you. But when you stand up for that to that challenge, there's a very important concept called spiritual muscle I want to talk about. How many young adults, how many people work out, go to gyms 3, 4, 5 days, if not every day? They build up physical muscle.
I've seen these people.
You've seen these people.
I've seen these people.
So few people talk about spiritual muscle. Mm-hmm. Do you know that when you're challenged, it is an opportunity to build spiritual muscle?
Absolutely. And we need to. Spiritual muscle, spiritual strength, it's absolutely necessary, just as for all of you that work out, right, attending to your physical well-being and the strength of your body, strength of soul. Like, we need that so much more than just, you know, on a physical level, the strength of our body. You know, when you think about the care that people give to their bodies, not only in terms of exercise, but, you know, what you eat, what you drink, what you put into your body, the care that you give your body, you know, sufficient rest and sleep. And even to a certain degree, there are people that have made that an obsession. I mean, they've gone way overboard.
Almost like a god to them.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But again, that same imagery as applied to the soul, right? Spiritual muscle, strengthening our spirit, which is where, you know, the decisions are made, right? Our free will, which is where knowledge is gained, right? And where, you know, our relationship with God is something real. You know, God dwells in us by sanctifying grace. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's more than just, you know, how do I look or how do I feel or, you know, what can I accomplish on a physical level? The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when God resides in that body, again, we tend to, you know, care for that reality and strengthen that. The spiritual muscle of being able to witness to the faith, be able to stand up to all the evil influences that are around us. This, it comes from God. You can't get it in a gym.
And it's a process, my brothers and sisters. I used to run 10Ks, even ran a half marathon.
Woo!
Half marathon, 13.1, right?
Nicely done, Dick and Steve.
And so bottom line is this. Did I walk out the first day and run a half marathon?
No.
It takes perseverance,
yes.
Practice, you know, time. The same thing is true in building this spiritual muscle. The same thing is true in building our faith. But you need resistance. You know, when you feel like giving up, that's when you push through.
Right.
And that's the faith life is the same type of thing.
Same thing. Yes, when you feel you've, you know, hit the wall or you've done all that you can. Well, I mean, that's where it's the call to go to that next level, right? We experience that on a physical level in exercise and playing sports and other things like that, or developing any skill, right? You're constantly challenging yourself to be better, and you can be better. That commitment in regard to our faith obviously is where that, you know, spiritual muscle is built up slowly but surely. And to never be satisfied sort of with where you are.
Never be comfortable.
No, because then it's over. The progress, the striving, the commitment to growth, then that's in jeopardy of just completely being set aside. But when that desire is there, that's the thing. Lent is also, again, one of the opportunities in the season is it rekindles and, you know, just strengthens our desire.
Amen.
Desire for God, desire for holiness, desire for God's grace. Let that desire be, again, what leads you on that path of, like, spiritual exercise.
Amen.
Strengthen that spiritual muscle. Now is the acceptable
time. Amen!
Now is the acceptable time.
Amen, amen, amen. One of the final thoughts I have before I'll turn it over to a final thoughts from Father Augustine Pugner. You may be the only Jesus that anyone sees.
Amen.
You may be the person that is the key. Through the Holy Spirit is the key, but you are the conduit. You are the vehicle in which that person discovers Jesus and goes to heaven all of eternity because they heard something you said in which they gave their life to Jesus Christ. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Don't feel like you don't have the ability. Just surrender to Jesus and let him flow through you. A big part of Lent is building that spiritual muscle. through prayer, fasting, almsgiving, through penance, through self-denial. A big part of Lent is getting closer to Jesus, in which Jesus can use you in a mighty way. Your final thoughts, Father?
Beautiful. Beautiful, Steve. Yes, each one of you listening, you may be the one. You may be the one to witness to God's love to someone who really needs it. You may be that witness. You may be the other Jesus for that person who's in need of, you know, the grace of reconciliation or peace with God or just the encouragement that you can provide. So beautiful.
Be right? an encourager. And final Lenten thoughts before you close us in prayer, Father?
Yes. Well, we've talked about Lent as a season of opportunity, as well as the season of, you know, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, penance, all the things. But, you know, for the season of Lent, it's so that our celebration of, you know, Holy Week and Easter can be as fruitful and joyful as possible, right? So that's, again, an important thing. Like, the penances that the church asks of us and that we take upon ourselves during this season in a more particular way, they are meant to be embraced with joy. There's supposed to be a joyful spirit of penance and a joyful experience of reconciliation with God that takes place throughout this season. And when we are Easter people.
Amen.
But the joy of Easter highlights how important it is that this season of preparation is taken seriously. That's why the opportunity to say, you want the best Easter ever? Amen. Don't
amen.
You?
Amen.
Well, then have the best Lent ever.
Amen.
Because the connection is so strong and deep, not only in our spirituality, but in the life of Christ himself.
Thank you for being once again on Empowered by the Spirit. Thank you for your yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for your inspiration to all of us.
Thank you, Deacon Steve.
Could you close us out in prayer?
Absolutely. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Loving God, we thank you for this holy season of Lent, this season of opportunity for us to grow closer to you and through that love to experience the many blessings that you wish to give us. May we spend this time well. May our sacrifices and our acts of self-denial truly be motivated by a greater love for you and a greater love for our faith. Bless all of our listeners, bless their family and friends. And we ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Deacon Steve.
God bless everyone. Have the best Lent ever. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You've been on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be with you next week at the same time. God bless.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week. Words of inspiration from the founder and president of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry, Deacon Steve Greco.
Well, you know the difference between a power tool and a regular tool, right?
Well, that's the difference between using the power of the Holy Spirit and just going along and not doing it. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that changes lives, that cuts through addiction, that changes people's hearts, that restores families.
For more great content, check out SpiritFilledRadio.org. SpiritFilled Radio is in partnership with the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange in Southern California. SpiritFilledRadio.org. You're listening to Spirit-Filled Radio. Here's a powerful word from the host of the Men of Faith podcast, Gil Alderetti.
Do you go to Mass or do you pray the Mass?
Amen.
There's a difference between walking through the door and blessing yourself with the holy water automatically, going to your pew, sitting down and listening. And there's a difference between going into Mass, praying, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with the holy water, and then sitting in your pew, looking up at the crucifix and saying a prayer, and then praying every single word of the liturgy in the Mass. It will transform your life. And that's the all-in that we're talking about. We go to Mass, but we don't pray the Mass.
For more great content, check out SpiritFilledRadio.org. Spirit-Filled Radio is in partnership with the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange in Southern California. SpiritFilledRadio.org.